Think of Mantra as a compassionate cosmic friend. I've always wanted to be free. As a child, I dreamed of becoming an adventuring pilot who soared through the skies. As a teenager, I desperately wanted out from parental restrictions. And as a young adult, I couldn't believe that the rest of my life would be bound by a 9-to-5 schedule. It just doesn't make sense to me. I wanted to be free to sing, make music, reach out, live a life less ordinary, free to be. At first, I thought it was everything outside of me making my life difficult. Rules, norms, expectations, disappointments. But that wasn't true. Somewhere along the way, it started to dawn on me that my most challenging opponent was inside, the mind. What is freedom? A most unyielding adversary. The mind sometimes puts on boxing gloves and does your dreams over with fears and doubts. Sometimes it creates a traffic jam of plans, wants, and needs, all heading in different directions. At least it did for me. Over the past 15 years, I've been redefining freedom for myself. Freedom is becoming unperturbed, or at least much less disturbed by the endless pushing and shoving of my mind. Freedom is knowing that I am not my mind. Freedom is not feeling dependent on cheap stimulants, sweet foods, alcohol, or entertainment to feel good. Freedom is no longer seeking validation from others to feel confident. Freedom comes from creating a sacred space inside, separate from all else, a spot of bliss. Freedom comes from filling my cup and letting it overflow to others. Freedom is plunging, diving, floating in an ocean of love. Freedom came after making Mantra my best friend. Spain 2010, when Mantra found me. My relationship with Mantra began in the Spanish mountains of Brihuega. I had joined 50 other young people on a spiritual retreat organized by the Hare Krishna Temple in Hertfordshire. The retreat was a summer annual to encourage young people to engage with mantra practices and philosophy. Every trip was based in a beautiful European temple. This was my fourth time. The previous three summers, I had gone mainly to get away from home. Let's face it, my parents were only going to let a 16-year-old traipse around Europe if the trips were organized by the temple, which meant no alcohol or funny business. In all the retreats, I would sleep in with a few other rebels, skip classes, as they seemed heavy, and avoid mantra sessions because singing and dancing felt awkward. In 2010, the guys convinced me to go to Spain. I knew this was going to be my last shot at these retreats, as I was by then old enough to travel without supervision. Deep down, I liked the people, food, fun, but I hadn't clicked with the whole package. These retreats brought another inner conflict too. At home, I was part of a cool clique who were into the clubbing and drinking scene. I was scared that they would think I was a weirdo. I never let on that I was going to these retreats. It was like living a double life. The temple guys were a different kind of cool, who were into mantra and meditation. The two lifestyles were uncomfortably different. For Spain, I also lied to my new girlfriend. She was fiercely atheist and would have said that this was all weird religious malarkey. I told her I was going on a family holiday to celebrate my uncle's birthday. Though I didn't want to be dishonest, I was still working up the courage to tell her that I somewhat liked this new stuff. On the last day of the retreat, she unexpectedly dumped me. Worse, she did it by text message without any explanation. I couldn't understand it. I also couldn't catch enough reception to text back. So there I was, sitting at the back of the hall, with nothing to do but notice that everyone else was absorbed in kirtan, a meditative practice where sacred names of the divine person are chanted to music. I liked kirtan, though not in a serious way. I understood that the practice was said to cleanse and lighten the heart of misery, but I wasn't convinced about this or the other claims that it raises our consciousness and fills us with love.